It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing Way. The Refreshing Way. The Refreshing Way. The Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. We have come to day 6 of our 7-day fast. God is merciful. God is good. Well, brothers and sisters, at this time, we'll have our opening prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and abide with us. We ask you to please fill us with your grace and mercy and power. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
topic is moving mountains of difficulty. This is day 6 of our 7-day fast. God has done some wonderful things. I trust that the most wonderful thing he's done in your life is that you're closer to him today than you were yesterday. That's what's most important, my dear friends. But we have had some other things that are of interest that have happened that we've been praying for, and we've seen God do some mighty things. He is a wonderful, promise-keeping God. Before I begin the message, those who haven't heard, the sentencing, which was supposed to be today, is postponed to December the 11th. So, and we do know, we have confirmation that the biblical booster book, as well as a 24-page letter, actually, that was written to the judge from this ministry, has been received. So we cannot say that it was our material that God used to move the sentencing, but we can say that the judge has more time. Can we say amen? He has more time to think about it. He has more time to pray. He has things in his hands, so we now can pray for the Holy Spirit to move upon his heart. And that said, let's have prayer and dig right into moving mountains of difficulty. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the truth. We ask that you bless us, Lord, as we study the word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We are not abandoning our Daniel 11 study, brothers and sisters. It is probably one of the most, I would say it's probably the most challenging chapter. There's just so much in there, so much detail. I think we've been doing God has blessed us, I should say, to give the detail thus far. But when it gets to where we are right now, there are differences of thought, and it's coming up on a time when the papacy is introduced. And there's a verse that some people kind of take a trajectory one way in their interpretation, and some people take a trajectory in another way in their interpretation. And I want to be at least more sure before I present it. So we're going to take a little break. Give me a little time to look at that. I think it's verse 29 is where things start to come into introducing the papacy. And so we'll get back to it. It won't be too long, but we're going to take a little time. It's nice also because we're talking about some things that relate to fasting and praying today in this message. So let's start right away with Matthew chapter 17. We're looking at that, the entire chapter. We're starting with verse 1. It's 27 verses in the chapter. We'll go verse by verse. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain apart. Now, I want you to know, and you can get this in Desire of Ages, beautiful commentary on this, that Jesus does what he does because he needs to test us. He needs to prove us. He needs to help us even see our own true character. When Jesus pulled Peter, James, and John away, the other nine got jealous, got angry, got bothered, okay? Jesus purposely took them because he needs to show us that sometimes we are tested. And even in our relationships, one with another, we are tested. And God wants us to pass those tests, brothers and sisters, okay? Now, that being said, Peter, James, and John could have had a feeling of superiority, and God had to humble them because they might not humble themselves. But I want you all to understand God does everything for a reason. Here's another principle. Although God loves everybody, and he really loves everybody, there are some that are closer to him. And if you are a parent, you know you love, if you're a godly parent, you love all your children, but you might have one that just likes to be around you more. It could be a daddy's girl or a daddy's boy or a mama's boy or, you know, but that doesn't mean you, and you're not supposed to treat them with any special favor and neglect the others. But that doesn't mean you can't have a closer relationship. And so sometimes we don't understand that principle. And so you see two people and they just get along better. You'd like to be in their circle, but they're just super duper friends, you know? And maybe your church family, and you get a little bothered because, you know, maybe you're not there. Now, we don't need to have clubs in the church, and that's what we often see. People congregate and have a clique. We call it a clique in the church. I'm not talking about that, but you have to understand that everybody doesn't necessarily get along as well with everybody else, or some people are just drawn to other people. Some people just have that, what do they call it in the new era, the BFF, best friends forever, you know? And so we need to understand that depending on what side of that coin we're on, if we're not in the inner circle, as long as we're not being neglected and we're treated with nicety and kindness and brotherly kindness, we should not be bothered because somebody else has a closer relationship with someone else. If you have that close relationship, be careful not to give favoritism. Okay, so wonderful principle. Let's go to the verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So Jesus lit up like a bright light, and on one side was Moses, and on the other side was Elijah. Now, how can that be? You know, brothers and sisters, a lot of people, hold on, let me just see here. There's something wrong with my little program here. Not wanting to act right. Let me just try to open it back up again. Okay, anyway, let's just go to Malachi. I had it in a particular place, but let's just go to Malachi 4 and verse 5. It said, well, that's not the verse. We want to go to, hold on a second, let me find it. Okay, we're going to go to Jude verse 9. Jude only has one chapter. Because how could Moses be there? Moses died. The Bible tells us in Jude chapter 1 verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So we have solid information that the body of Moses was there was contention over the body of Moses. Why would there be contention over his body? He's dead because God was there to raise him up. And we know it was Jesus because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Only Jesus is the life giver, my brothers and sisters. That's his job. Each one of the members of the Godhead has a job. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin and to guide us into all truth. That's his job. Jesus' job is to raise the dead, brothers and sisters. He did it while he was on the earth. He raised himself from the dead. A lot of people don't understand that. The Father calls, but you see, here's the deal. You cannot kill divinity, but Christ's humanity died. He was 100% dead as a man, but you cannot kill the God in him. So the best way to explain it in human terms that I understand, it's as if when he died on the cross, his divinity guarded his humanity and stayed with it. When the Sunday morning came, the Father called. The divinity said, obeyed the Father, reinfused itself into his humanity, and Jesus raised himself from the dead. That's the only way I can explain it, brothers and sisters. And beyond that, I would say it's a mystery. Because you can't kill divinity. And that's the whole mystery of godliness. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God came in the flesh. We can't explain it, friends. But here I am telling you, I'm just showing you, Michael the archangel is Jesus. Jesus raised up Moses from the dead, and that's the record we have in Jude 9. What lesson can we learn in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11? The Bible says, and it came to pass as they still went on, and talked, this is talking about Elijah and Elisha, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So brothers and sisters, you have Bible that tells us that there's no, a lot of people believe that we can consult the ancestors. And so they go to witch doctors and they shake bones up in bags and do different things and go to seances because they believe that the dead can talk to them and guide them. The Bible says the dead are dead, brothers and sisters, but that doesn't mean that people in the past haven't been translated. Enoch was translated. Elijah was translated. They never died. So that would make sense why Elijah is there. And we have a scripture that I gave you that showed that Moses was resurrected from the dead. So I want to make sure you understand this theory, this concept, this belief that when you die, you go straight to heaven, or when you die, you become part of stardust, or when you die, you go to hell. That came from the Roman Catholic Church, brothers and sisters. It is not in the Bible. They got it from paganism. Paganism is a belief that they can communicate with the dead. The Roman Catholic Church, the Bible says, and this is what the Bible does say about, the Bible uses the phrase daily. And in Daniel 11, it says the Roman Catholic Church took away the daily. A lot of people have a misconception of that. That word daily, brothers and sisters, dealt with paganism, the daily, maybe the daily incantations of paganism. I don't know. But the papacy took it away because it brought it into Christianity. It brought paganism into Christianity, brothers and sisters. And so that's what happened. And so why am I bringing that out at this time? They were transfigured before him. So we need to have a clear understanding of what the Bible teaches about the state of the dead. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. The Bible tells us in Psalm 117:15, Psalm 6:5, the dead praise not the Lord. And in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? So we need to understand why they're there. Elijah never died. Moses was resurrected. Verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here thee three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. You see, Peter was quick to speak. The Bible says, let every man be slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to hear. If God was giving them some demonstration, Peter should have waited to see what God had to say. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. You see, the transfiguration was a promise, and it was an example of what we will see when Jesus comes. Brothers and sisters, something we don't talk about. Do you know the Bible in the book of Revelation said there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour? If you take the day-year principle and you put it to half an hour, in other words, every day is in other words, every day is a year. So I'm going to try to do it real quickly. I may not be able to remember everything, but a day is 24 hours, right? So you would have 365 days, and then if a day is 24 hours, then you would divide that by 24, okay? And that means that an hour is 15 days roughly, but it was for a space of half an hour. So you divide that by two and you have 7 days. My brothers and sisters, the Feast of Tabernacles, they camped for 7 days. What we don't talk about at the second coming of Christ is that the Father is going to come with the Son, with all the angels. Heaven's going to be empty for half an hour. That's 7 days. That's why you have the Feast of Tabernacles, brothers and sisters. If I was God the Father, I mean, this is the final culmination of everything they fought for, died for, saw us fight for, helped us fight for, helped us die for. All the gallons, no, rivers of blood of martyrs that have been slain for the coming of Christ, all the death of Jesus, the efforts put forth on Calvary to save, the acts of the apostles, the prophets and the kings, the great controversy in its totality has finally come to an end. I'm not staying up here by myself. I could see the Father saying that. I want to be a part. I want to see the dead. I mean, I want to be present. He can see because he's God. But I want to be present when the dead rise up, when Jesus, my Son, calls them from the grave, my brothers and sisters. The Bible teaches that heaven is going to be empty. And so Jesus is coming again, my friends. It says they lifted up their eyes and they saw Jesus only. You see, God was trying to show the disciples and give them hope. Afterwards, when they would be discouraged, they would remember they saw him transfigured with light, and it will remind them that he's coming again and he's going to have beings with him. So God used Moses to illustrate that the dead in Christ shall rise. He used Elijah to show that the living on the earth who are in Christ will rise without seeing death, my friend. It's going to be a wonderful thing. The transfiguration is to remind us and give us a sample promise of the second coming of Jesus. And it is a coming that the Father's glory will go in along with the Son's glory. And that's why the Bible tells us that the wicked will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Imagine one angel, the brightness of one angel could kill all of them. You got all the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, plus the light of Jesus, plus the light of the Father. And we're not even talking about regular sunlight. Have mercy. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then shall then say the scribes that Elias must first come? You see, they were remembering a verse in the Bible. It says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children unto the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so it was a promise that Elijah would come. Okay, well, Elijah's in heaven, but what did that mean? So watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come, there are some people in Adventism that believe that a man named Victor Hutef is that Elijah. He died. Victor Hutef claimed that, and so some of you may have heard of the Shepherd's Rod movement. That's in Adventism. Victor Hutef made false predictions, brothers and sisters, and most people who stay with the Shepherd's Rod, they ignore what the Bible says. The Bible says if a prophet among you says something and it does not come to pass, do not be afraid of him. I have not sent him. It's in Deuteronomy. But yet he made false prophecies. He said he was going to be translated. I read it for myself, brothers and sisters. He said, I'm going to be translated. Now, what they'll do is they'll take a vision written by Ellen White, where she saw a vision or a dream. She had a dream. There was a group of people in the dream, and she saw that people. And in the dream, it said she saw that some would be killed or die, some would be translated, and others would be, you know, would make it. Some would be translated to heaven, some wouldn't make it, and some would die, okay? So some would die, some would be translated to heaven, and some would not make it into heaven. So she woke up and she told that dream. She did not give any interpretation. She made no predictions. She just said, I had this interesting dream, and this is what I saw in my dream. And so they try to make that say that Ellen White was a false prophet if Hutef was a false prophet. But the difference, and I'm just telling you in case you run into some, the difference is that she made no prediction. If she had said, boom, this is what is going to happen, that would make her a false prophet if it didn't come to pass, okay? She just said, listen, I had this dream. She just, I don't know, she didn't say what the dream meant. And then, not miraculously, but suddenly, one of her good friends that was in that group passed away, and she believed that was just God showing her that, you know, we could be here today, gone tomorrow, and that God was preparing her that some of her close friends would pass away soon. So, brothers and sisters, she didn't violate the principle of a false prediction. Hutef said, I will be translated. So if anybody listening is in the Shepherd's Rod movement, you're following a man who made a prediction that did not come true. Hutef was in the 50s, a little before I was born, and he's dead, brothers and sisters. He died. But he made many different interpretations of particularly the minor prophets. Jeremiah talked about something happened in Jerusalem, whatever. He would put a modern application. So they actually believe that something's going to happen. It's like an Adventist evangelical thing where something's going to happen over in literal Jerusalem. They believe that God is going to rise up and destroy in Ezekiel 9 slaughter. They believe that is a slaughter primarily first of Adventists that would not accept their message. And then there's going to be some kind of something happening over in Jerusalem where King David is going to be resurrected, they believe, and they're going to be like translated over there. You know how in the evangelicals they believe that they're going to be raptured? It's the Adventist rapture movement, okay? It's false teaching, brothers and sisters, and many people believe it, but it's not true. And when they were come to the multitude, we're back in Matthew. There came unto him certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Why could the disciples not cure him? Because they were angry, bothered, jealous, irritated, frustrated, felt betrayed, because Jesus took Peter, James, and John and didn't take them. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when something happens, and it happens good for somebody else, you need to just thank God that something good, and don't be jealous about it. Thank God that God blessed somebody. Your time is coming. It will be your time when it's your time, but God was testing them. And so in this angry spirit that they had, the devil said, I'm going to take advantage of this. And so he brought a demon-possessed boy. Now, prior to this point, anytime a demon-possessed somebody came, all they had to do was say, I rebuke you, demon, in the name of Jesus. Come out of him. And it would come out. They were so shocked. He said, don't be shocked that the devils obey you. Don't rejoice that the devils obey you. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You see, their hearts were right back then, but their heart wasn't right then. And so because their heart wasn't right, they could not cast out the devil. That's why when we talked about yesterday, just because you say J-E-S-U-S, the name of Jesus, does not make the devil run if your heart is not like Jesus. The name of Jesus does not make the devil scared if you are not like Jesus, friend. That's why we read to you about the sons of Sceva. They said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Because they said, come out of him in the name of Jesus, the one Paul preaches about. They said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Friends, there are so many principles in the Bible that we just ignore. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Some of us who are conservative Christians, we are the most judgmental, hard people, nuts to crack. We have no mercy. We have no long suffering, and we label people, and then we just judge them and don't want to talk to them. Here's the thing. Some of those people are going to heaven. If you won't talk to them now, you're not going to talk to them in heaven. If you don't want to have anything to do with them now, you won't want to have anything to do with them in heaven. Guess what? That means you're not going. That's what that means. If you have that kind of attitude, if you don't humble yourself, God will not take you into the kingdom of heaven, because he's not going to take you into a place and all of a sudden you get all nice to people that you're not nice to right now. Have mercy on us, O Father. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither unto me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples unto Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You see, they weren't trying to have faith. They were angry because he took the three. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, brothers and sisters, a lot of people think this means that all I have to do is have a little faith, because the grain of a mustard seed is very small. That's not what it means. If you study the verses called little faith, every time the Bible used little faith, it was a rebuke. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. He said it when Peter took his eyes off him when he was walking on the water. Oh, ye of little faith. He said it to the disciples when they got scared on the boat in the storm. Oh, ye of little faith. Little faith was a rebuke. But that doesn't mean you have to have a whole lot of faith. the mustard seed goes into the ground and it takes advantage of everything, every nutrient God provides in that soil, and it pulls it in and it grows up as a sturdy growth. Mustard seed faith is faith that uses what God has provided for you. You take the faith you have, the resources you have, the word, prayer, and you make the best use of everything God has provided, and then God will bless you, brothers and sisters. And that's what mustard seed faith is. It is not the amount that's the issue. It is what you do with what God has given you. But notice it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That's why we're fasting this week, my brothers and sisters, because we understand it is not penance. God is not moved and punishing us and because we deny ourselves. It is an exercise that God has ordained to help us maintain the spirit of dependence on him and a spirit of humility, and an exercise that allows us to have a clearer mind to allow him to work. So sometimes we would take credit for that which is his and him. So when you are fasting and you want to eat and you deny yourself, it is a wonderful Christian spiritual exercise that brings you closer to God because you need him when you fast. Can we say amen? And so, brothers and sisters, that's it. So that's why God says it does. It puts us in a dependent mindset. And that's all he needs. When we depend on him and we give him the opportunity to work. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised up. Twice in this chapter, Jesus said, I'm going to suffer. He even was detailed. And, you know, they when it happened, they still didn't believe. That shows you the power of Pharisaism. We have Pharisaism in the church today. Many people will not read the Bible for themselves, won't study for themselves. They'll just do whatever the pastor says, whatever the conference says. Jesus is telling them point blank, I'm going to die and be raised the third day. But when they didn't believe. They got discouraged. And when they were come unto Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? And we're not going to just keep going there. I think we'll just stop with this where we are right now. God is good, friends. If you want to move mountains of difficulty, you've got to believe. You've got to take advantage of everything God has given you, and you have to humble yourself and deny self and depend on God. God will answer your prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful teaching today. Bless us with the knowledge of the truth, and we thank you for all that you have done. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God is good. Friends, we'll take a little break, then we'll be back to have a health message from Sister Lenny. She's going to talk to us about by the power of the will and the grace of God. By the power of the will and the grace of God. At this time, we'll have our intermission song. The Torso song is next, and we'll be back in a little while.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If you're must come and see. Your abnormality may be autoimmune, butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free.
tonight, brothers and sisters. At this time, we'll hear from Sister Lenny on the power of the will, by the power of the will and the grace of God. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Friday. By the power of the will and the grace of God. Through appetite, Satan controls the mind and the whole being. Thousands who might have lived have passed into the grave, physical, mental, and moral wrecks, because they sacrifice all their power to the indulgence of appetite. The necessity for the men of this generation to call to their aid the power of the will, strengthened by the grace of God, in order to withstand the temptations of Satan and resist the least indulgence of perverted appetite, is far greater than it was several generations ago. But the present generation have less power of self-control than had those who lived then. Few have moral stamina to resist temptation, especially of the appetite, and to practice self-denial. To some, it is a temptation too strong to be resisted to see others eat the third meal, and they imagine they are hungry, when the feeling is not a call of the stomach for food, but a desire of the mind that has not been fortified with firm principle and discipline to self-denial. The walls of self-control and self-restriction should not in a single instance be weakened and broken down. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Those who do not overcome in little things will have no moral power to withstand greater temptations. Carefully consider your diet. Study from cause to effect. Cultivate self-control. Keep appetite under the control of reason. Never abuse the stomach by overeating, but do not deprive yourself of the wholesome, palatable food that health demands. In your association with unbelievers, do not allow yourself to be swerved from right principles. If you sit at their table, eat temperately and only of food that will not confuse the mind. Keep clear of intemperance. You cannot afford to weaken your mental or physical powers, lest you become unable to discern spiritual things. Keep your mind in such a condition that God can impress it with the precious truths of His Word. I would like to share 10 things that I find personally that really, really helps in this area. The first thing, that these are not in any order, this is just things that come to my mind and I know that they work for me. Not eating between meals. Not drinking with meals. Not staying up late at night. I remember I used to stay up late at night and bake and do all kinds of food items and preparation for people. Sometimes I wouldn't go to bed. And as I finish a product, it's almost like I could hear my name being called, Lenny, don't you want to eat a piece of that cake you just made? And I knew that I wouldn't. I knew who that was. So don't stay up late at night. Food does call you. Don't eat until you're full. Eat slower. Plan meals ahead. Drink lots of water. Eat lots of fiber. Do not grocery shop when you're hungry. And make your meals smaller. I find that those things really, really help me. You probably know them already, and they will help you. So please, let's concentrate on the power of the will and the grace of God. Thank you so much, and may God allow you to share with someone today. God bless you.
You know, these are simple principles, but they're powerful principles. I had this, I started laughing, Sister Lenny, when you said it was calling you. I just kind of had this picture in my mind of a finger, like when you tell somebody to come here, and it, that donut is just saying, please just come. Have mercy. Have mercy. All right, friends, it's time for roll call. We start with Facebook, our dear brother Brian from Kenya. He says, good morning, happy preparation day to everyone. Sister Vicky from Georgia, the state of Georgia. She says, good morning, everyone, and happy preparation day. We got Brother Peyton out of North Carolina. Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria and Maria Fleming and friends. Happy preparation day. God bless you all. We've got Sister Gloria, and she says, good morning, all, and happy preparation day. Sister Vicky King gave us Ecclesiastes 9:5 during the message that we were giving. But the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Thank you, Sister Vicky. We've got a Principessa. I'm not sure where that individual is from. I'm not sure. I'm going to assume that's a female, but I just don't know. But God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We've got Sister Salita out of Virginia. Good morning and happy preparation day to everyone. And that's our Facebook roll call. On the phone call, we've got Ohio on the line. Ohio again. We have Ohio again. We also have Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware again. We have Alabama again. And some of you who haven't been on for a while, welcome, welcome. God bless you. We have Oklahoma. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma again. We have South Carolina. We've got New Jersey, I believe. And we have Georgia. So we welcome everybody. And at this time, we've got 10 minutes. That's plenty of time. If there's anyone who has anything you'd like to share, press *6. We'd love to hear from you at this time. Okay, and we've got, I believe, Sister Angela on the call. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria, and blessings to everyone on the line. I laughed when Sister Lenny said, don't grocery shop when you're hungry, because I remember doing that many times.
Yeah.
But, Pastor, how many people are in the queue? Because your sister got some testimonies. Not testimonies. She got testimonies.
Go ahead.
First, I just want to praise the Lord for taking me through this fast. You know, I'm thinking a 7-day fast. Oh, I'm going to be hungry, you know. But God has been blessing me, times that I'm usually hungry, I'm not hungry. And I'm just like, but by the time I look at the day, it's time to go to bed. I'm like, this is another fast day down. So I just want to praise the Lord for that. Also, there's a young lady that I've been praying for during the fast. I had started having Bible studies with her before the fast started. But after about 2 weeks, I hadn't heard from her. She had gotten sick. Now, I don't know if she was really sick. She's kind of a hypochondriac. She likes to be sick for attention. So a couple of weeks I hadn't heard from her other than, you know, the morning text I sent her, inspirational text I sent her, and she replies back, good morning, and that's all. We hadn't had Bible studies. So I just been praying for her, and Tuesday, out of the blue, she texts me, can we have Bible study tonight? And, you know, I called her. I was like, well, praise God. And, you know, and before the 2 weeks, she had told me she was sick. She said she had pneumonia. So the last time I spoke to her, she sounded really bad. And out of the blue, when she texted me and I called her and I said, well, praise God. I said, I told you we can have Bible studies anytime you want. You know, you don't have to ask me whenever we can have Bible studies. We can have Bible studies whenever you want. So we had the Bible study, and then after the Bible study, she said, "Well, what do you, we were having it just once a week." She said, "Well, what do you think about having it more than once a week?" I said, "I just started praising God, and I'm like I said, any time you want to have it 3 times a week, that's fine." So, her name is Pam. So please just pray for her in her situation. She was living here in South Carolina. She was in a shelter. She moved to Alabama. Yeah, she moved to Alabama, so we have Bible studies over the phone now. And I'm just praising God that she still, you know, keeps in contact and still wants to have the Bible studies. Also, 2 weeks ago Friday, 2 weeks ago today, I was out. Picked up my cousin. My cousin's a truck driver. I picked him up and was taking him home. And my car was really dirty. And he was like, you know, because your car is really dirty, let's take you to wash. So we went through one of these car washes here in South Carolina. They have these big car washes where you drive through the car wash and the vacuums are free. So we drove through the car wash, and I was parking to one of the vacuums. The vacuums are like in the middle, and you park on either side. And I parked in the very last, one of the very last ones. There was no car next to me, and then there were cars all down from that. I got out of my car, and I walked straight to the vacuum. I mean, I stepped over nothing. I didn't step over anything. I didn't. There was nothing there. I walked straight to the vacuum. I got the vacuum. As I was turning around to walk back to my car, I was tripping and falling. I didn't know what I was tripping over. There was nothing there. I was tripping and falling. So in my mind, I'm tripping with my left foot. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I can catch myself with my right foot. But by the time I tried to use my right foot, I was tripping with that one too. So before I knew it, I was tripping and falling, and I was on the ground. I fell so hard, my the pants I had on were really thick, and the ground broke a hole through my pants on my right knee. And my left knee, I noticed a little like goose egg on my knee immediately, and my knee was kind of scraped on my right knee. And I was just discombobulated. I turned and I looked, and what I had tripped over was one of those parking like cement things. Well, I don't know what they're called, those long cement things. But it was the same color as the ground. I never saw it. When I turned around, I must have taken a couple of steps backwards, and it was there, and that's how I tripped. But I had to sit there and get myself together again. And my cousin, he didn't even know that I had failed, because he was on the other side of the car waiting for me to hand him the vacuum. And so when he noticed I had failed, he came and helped me up. And when I got up, I thought I was going to be, not able to walk or anything, but I was able to walk. You know, I felt fine, but, I didn't. I wasn't able. I just said, I didn't want him to drive. So my cousin, he drove. And so, and my knees were a little sore, but, it didn't feel like how hard I fell. So I came home. I said, my cousin was like, "You need to go to the doctor." I said, "No, I think I feel okay." So I dropped him off, and I came home, and I soaked in a Epsom salt bath, and I wrapped my knees in castor oil wraps, and I went to bed. Sabbath morning, I woke up, and my knees were in so much pain. My right knee had swollen up where I had hit really hard, and my left knee was swollen as well. The goose egg had swollen a little more. But the whole time I'm praising God, I'm like, thank you, God. It could have been worse because I don't think anything was broken, because I wouldn't have been able to walk. And, they always say the next day you're in more pain. So mm-hmm. I'm praising God the whole time, but I'm saying, okay, God, I'm praising you. It wasn't worse, but I need to know why you allowed me to fall, because you know my upper body is all messed up. Anybody that knows me in the ministry, been how long, all the issues I have with my upper body, I was like, Lord, I need my lower body. My knees have been good, so I'm just asking him. I didn't go to church. I was just, you know, in pain. I got up again and I soaked in another Epsom salt bath and wrapped my legs. I did some cold and hot on my knees. And the next day, Sunday, I was still in some pain. And then I talked to my girlfriend back home, and she said, "Well," I said, "Speaking lady, I'm praising God, but I need to know why I fell. What, you know?" She said, "Well, speaking lady, you're taking this medical missionary class. Maybe he wants you to know how to work on somebody if something like this happens." And I said, "You know what? Well, praise God." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what? I'll take that. Maybe that's." So I ordered the bones, flesh, cartilage from torso. I said, I had some comfrey root with the castor oil wraps. I heated some comfrey root and castor oil wrap, and I started doing that, wrapping it like that. Now Monday through Friday, I work out every Monday through Friday. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to work out. I'm not going to be able to do this. But when I started that castor oil and comfrey wrap, Monday morning I woke up. So much of the swelling had went down. So much of the pain had gone away. When I got the bone fresh cartilage, I'm just jumping around here, working out, doing my exercises, acting like it's just amazing. God is truly amazing. I want to thank you all, Sister Maria, because after the sores, you know, after where I scraped had closed up, I started using the DMSO. So everything that I've been learning in the class, I'm just praising God. I'm just praising God. And I thank God for my friend back home saying, you know, she said, you know, you're taking this class. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you know, like, what am I doing? You know, I know a lot of things to do, but I'm just so thankful for you all. Yes, God is amazing. So my knees now, they're not 100%, but they are, you know, I'm 53 years old now. You know, my son was like, because I was like, you know, I have no scars on my knees. I said, wait till I get 53 years old to get scars. He's like, well, Mom, they'll heal. I was like, you don't heal like when you're 10, you know, from when he was like, he laughed and said, yeah, that's true. But they are healing like Amen. Tremendously. And I'm just praising the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Well, this was a true, true blessing. What's the next testimony? You got another one?
That's it for now.
All right. Well, thank God. Thank God. And we're praying for you, and we're glad that God protected you. You know, I watched this video once, and it showed how if you hit your head just right, you can die if the car is going 5 miles an hour, if you just hit it just right. People have died in different conditions, you know. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take much. God is good. Angels are real. And even though, you know, the devil probably pushes us over, the angels protect us. And so thank God for that, sister. Thank God. Praise God.
Yes,
I just want to say, you know, again, we're hearing testimony after testimony of how God is working in our lives, things that we're praying for, and we praise God for it. For those of you who aren't on now that weren't on before, we're praying for some friends of the ministry that are confined in jail, and we do know that the sentencing was supposed to be today, and it was postponed until December the 11th. The judge has a book from the ministry and a letter from the ministry that he has now almost a month to look at and as he has to make his decision. So we praise God for that. We believe that's a good sign, and it definitely gives us more time to pray. So thank God. Thank you, Sister Angela, for sharing. And at this time, we'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to close us out with prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much that your word is true. We thank you for your loving protection that you have about each of us. I thank you, Lord, personally, that you have shown again your great mercy and protection. Thank you for being with my nephew. Just found out not too long ago that his vehicle was in an accident and it flipped upside down as well. The same thing happened to my niece just a few days ago, and I just thank you, Lord, that they both were able to walk away with just bruises. Father, I know that the devil is trying to do all he can to steal, kill, and destroy. But I know that those that are faithful to you, you will extend blessings beyond just us. You'll put them into our families' lives as well. And I thank you for doing that for my niece and my nephew. And I know, Lord, that you will bring about recovery for both of them as they are young parents needing to be able to take care of their families. And I thank you for just saving their lives, sparing them from any type of major injuries, any type of major pains, and certainly saving their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to remember that we have a God who will give out and pour out blessings upon blessings. I thank you, Lord, for Sister Angela's testimony this morning. Mm-hmm. What an encouragement to know that she's studying with Pam, and Pam is wanting to even increase her study time. I pray that your spirit will continue to guide the words of Sister Angela as she moves through your Bible, through the passages, through each scripture, that she will be given even more wisdom so that she can share with Pam. I pray that Sister Pam, or soon to be Sister Pam, we pray that she will be able to understand and gain more and more knowledge and have more of a deeper desire to go into a relationship with you, that her heart will be open and that she will fully accept you as her Lord and Savior. Thank you that you were able to help Sister Angela with this accident. It's not always understood as to why accidents happen to us, but we can see your hand of mercy. She could have had sprains and breaks and tears, but that's not what she suffered with. I thank you, Lord, that she remembered that there are simple remedies that you have given to us that we can apply and that can be used for healing. And we do pray that for her. We thank you that she didn't hit her shoulders or her arms in any kind of way which could have re-injured her. So we just are grateful for that. And perhaps that's why you allowed her knees to be injured instead. And Lord, we just know that there are just mysteries as to things for us, and we're blindsided when things happen, but you see and know the beginning to all things. So I thank you that her cousin was there with her. I thank you that there was no major result of injuries for her, and I thank you that what she is doing is helping. And we pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to remember that we don't have to seek a medical doctor when we have the chief physician who is ready to show us what we can do naturally to get healed. I pray, Lord, that you will be with our friends in jail, that you will continue to allow for the fear of the Lord to be in the face of this judge. We want him, Lord, to know that you are God who can change his heart and his mind and help him to see that he needs to extend mercy. This was the first offense for both of them. And we know that not everything was done 100% as it should have been, but there's not any wrong that was done that will require them to be in jail for any time. They have already served enough. Let them be the parents they need to be for their children, and let them be doing the work they need to be doing for you. So as this case continues to be prayed upon and requested, we just know that you are working things out. And we hope that one day there will be an amazing testimony that each of them will be able to come on this line and to share, knowing that our God is the great I Am, and that there is nothing that you can't do. For those who cry out to you for help, for deliverance, and for protection. And Father, we pray that you would bless everyone on this line as we prepare for your holy Sabbath. May we be able to do only enough in this day so that tomorrow can be totally, totally set aside for sacredness and holiness. Let us not find time to cook anything extra on this Sabbath. Let us not take time to prepare anything that we should not have already prepared. Let us do all of that prior to that time. And as we prepare for this Sabbath, may we remember to call upon our God throughout the day, always asking for help, always asking for direction, always asking for guidance. Lord, we need to be led by your Spirit. Help our minds to stay on Christ. Help our hearts to be pure, and help us to be cleansed of all unrighteousness so that we may serve you faithfully. It's our desire to be with you, our soon-to-come King. And it is in his name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, under and above. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in